I asked Pastor what he wanted me to talk about tonight, and he said just he didn't answer. He was kind of like, you know, just talk about what you learned, which I mean, I got pages of notes and notes. I could be up here all night, but I'm not gonna keep y'all all night, because I know people gotta go to work and the roads are getting bad outside. But I wanted to start off by saying that, kind of tell my story a little bit. So a lot of life for me came about. A lot of life lessons came about through sports, through football. Honestly, there was no male figure in my home, so a lot of the things I learned about manhood, camaraderie, just a lot of life lessons came through football. And various other sports, and it kind of shaped me to be who I am today. And I think kind of those same principles that I learned on the field, as you can attest to, String, like kind of those same principles that you learn on the field, you kind of mimic in your daily life. For those that never been athletes, it's kind of like things that you learn when you're younger. You say that you weren't gonna do that your parents did, and you end up doing it. Like kind of the same sentiment. So there's nine things that I try to live by. I guess you could call them like my credo. And I've memorized them. I say them every day. And it's nine words. So the words are consistency, commitment, dedication, determination, discipline, patience, endurance, obedience, and sacrifice. So with those nine words, for me, like, those are the most important words that that kind of shape who I am. And the reason I say that is because, like, one word can't exist without the other word. Like, you can't have consistency without commitment. You can't have patience without discipline. You can't have obedience without some type of sacrifice. Just listen to what Pastor's been saying over the last few weeks or months, honestly. There's a few things that stood out, kind of the parallel. Like, so as human beings, right, like, no, assuming nobody in here is perfect, right? Like, we're going to just assume nobody is perfect, right? So there are things that we all deal with, you know what I mean? Pastor Mel, what may affect you or what you may be dealing with may not be an issue for me, you know what I mean? And that's how it goes, so on and so on for the next person. But for everybody, they have their things that they deal with. And for me, it was I wake up and I say, you know what, today I'm going to get better mentally, physically, and spiritually. And for me, I feel like you can't do two without doing all three, for me. And so with that being said, out of those nine words, I think to me, I kind of learned that you're going to have roller coasters in life. There are going to be things that come and go. There are going to be great moments. There are going to be moments that are not so great. And I think the thing, as humans, we're so fickle when it comes to things that happen. Let me speak for me. I'm fickle when it comes to things that happen, right? When things are going great, it's good. It's good. Everything's great. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. When things are bad, we have a tendency, it's sort of human nature, we have it's fight or flight. So you either respond like, okay, this is going to be how I'm going to react, I'm going to attack this thing head on, or you kind of, you know, retreat and not necessarily deal with those things as they are. So I have a tendency to, when things are great, like, oh man, God is good, God is great, amen. When things aren't so good, that's when it's real. And that's for every human being. It's hard. It's sort of like my mom is one of those type of people who, if you can mistreat her 100 times and she'll still, no, you got to pray for him. You gotta treat him right. You got to do nice. But me, I'm working on it. Not necessarily that type of human being, right? Like, I feel like, you know, you offend me. I mean, I'm just being real, right? Like, if you offend me, and I know it's not do unto others like as they do unto you. But again, it's human nature to, if someone walk by somebody and they trip you up, you're not gonna say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I must have missed your," you know what I mean? I'm sorry, I I accidentally ran into your foot. Like, you have, there's something in you that rises up, like, whoa, you know what I mean? So when it comes to faith, right, this walk, you know, as we do this walk, like, we all realize and we keep it real with ourselves and understand that it's a daily grind. It's a daily grind mentally. It's a daily grind mentally, and I think that's where the discipline part comes in at. And for me, the discipline and the commitment part are the two most important pieces. It's a couple of things that I wrote down. It says, self-discipline is the ability to steadily act with conscious control in directing or changing behavior, divesting from the things of lesser value, and delaying gratification in the pursuit of a higher purpose or goal. When you think about self-discipline, right, there's certain things in our lives that we can all look at and say, well, okay, so I can come to person A and say, hey, I went to the gym this week, and they'll hit you with a, no, man, I'm definitely going to get back in there for sure. That was in 2012, that you know what I mean? You still saying that. And no, but seriously, like, y'all laughing, but, like, it's certain things that we tell ourselves that we're going to do or we're going to do better at, but we kind of put it on the back burner, right? Like, we don't place it up on the higher pedestal with other things that are priorities in our life. You know what I mean? And that's where that commitment and that consistency and that is actually part of obedience, right? Like, doing things that you know you should be doing, but you just kind of make an excuse like, nah, I really don't want to do that right now, because it's uncomfortable for you. Things that are uncomfortable tend to, we don't necessarily jump in the pot and say, let me get on that. Like, but I feel like, that's another thing that I wrote down when Pastor was preaching one morning. And for me, I feel like this year has been, spiritually, it's been amazing for me, because I feel like for God to make you grow, there has to be some breakdown. And I think for me, it's been wonderful, because I've learned a lot about myself. I've learned that there's really no, obviously besides the Bible being the blueprint, but there's no, you know what I mean? Like, I can't come to you and say, you know, how did you do this? How are you getting along in your walk? Because what you may be doing is not necessarily going to be the things and the steps that I need to be taking to get where God needs me to be. But I just feel like with every level of elevation, there comes a different level of preparation. Even with, I work out constantly all the time, but I feel like even when you're in the gym, you know, if I haven't worked out in forever and I say, you know what, today I'm going to do one push-up. I'm going to start out with one push-up. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do one push-up every day for the next 7 days. Well, sooner or later, that one push-up is going to become easy to you. You know what I mean? So with that being said, you're going to have to do more to get a result. You're going to have to do something different to get something different. You can't keep doing the same thing and thinking that it's going to have a change. You can't do one push-up for 365 days and think that you're going to continuously see progress. You're going to have to add and increase that load. You're going to have to break those muscles down in order for them to grow. That's how strength happens. In order to get stronger in something, you have to be broken down, which is ironic, but, I mean, that's just how it is. And spiritually, that's how it works. When you're going through something, it's hard, and I tell people all the time, like, it's so hard. One of the hardest things to do, so when you go through a storm or a test or a trial or whatever, what have you, it's so hard to see that light at the end of the tunnel. But what, as humans, what we do, which is so crazy because it happens to all of us, we fail. So, you know, storms come and go in our life, but we fail to realize that God already removed us from storms previously. Like, why wouldn't he do it again? If we had that type of faith or that type of confidence, like, we know every day that the mailman is going to come, right? Like, mailman, they run like clockwork. What happens is when we go through things, it's so hard to say, you know what? God already did this. Like, I was panicking. I was struggling. I was, you know, worrying. But he already got me through one thing. Like, why wouldn't he do it again? You know what I mean? Like, why wouldn't he? And the thing is, we just, like, you know, I'm just, you know, you ask people how they're doing, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm all right. I'm just, you know, I'm just praying and staying praying. Like, you know, I, listen, if something's wrong with me, and this isn't to say that I don't have issues or I don't have problems, but I'm not going to speak like, hey, how you? I mean, I'm great. I'm good. I'm blessed. Like, not necessarily to hide the fact that I'm going through something, but you have to speak that. You have to know that what you're going through is not forever. You know what I mean? Like, things don't last all the time. Things aren't always permanent. And in order to get to where you should be, like, there's going to be some type of pain, some type of strife, some type of struggle. Is it worth really where you're going? You know what I mean? Like, if it's an easy road, like, I'm good. I don't want to take that route, because obviously everybody else has done that, and that's not where you're trying to go. But the thing about it is, a lot of the times we continuously go through the same tests, obviously because of our own disobedience. But a lot of times, like, we're just not ready. Because God wants to know, like, are you going to maintain your obedience? So say you're praying for something, like, man, I'm praying for this, I'm praying. And you get it, but are you going to maintain that same type of obedience when you do get it? You know what I mean? And I think that's something that we have to ask ourselves. Like, are we really, you know, dedicated enough to, let me read something. One of the things that, you know, has been a thing for me has just been, you know, the trust the process. That's kind of been an ongoing thing that I've continuously told myself, just kind of trust the process, because the process it's not easy. You know what I mean? It's not easy, but you have to trust that process is. I read something the other day. It was, social media is crazy, but it will give you a lot of gems sometimes. It said, you know, people pray for cake. People pray for cake all the time, but when God sends you milk, eggs, and, you know, flour, like, you complain. You know what I mean? Like, and so people think that blessings are supposed to come ready-made. Like, you know what, Lord, I want a new car. I need a new car. But when he gives you a new job, you know what I mean? Some things aren't always like, hey, here's that car. Like, somebody's not going to just walk. You know what I mean? Some things come with a process. Some things that you have to do your part. And I think that a lot of times we are lazy as individuals. We're lazy as humans because we think that things are just supposed to come to us without any type of work, without any type of sacrifice. So trust the process means to accept the changes as they come, both good and bad. Our plans and goals will come with the challenges and changes that test our faith and what we're doing. It's also about trusting God and trusting that he's allowed them to happen for a bigger and better reason that you and I can see. Trust the process means always keeping in mind that part of the process is failure. Because at the end of the day, like, it's a necessity, because it's sort of like, you know, playing football. If you don't know how to, like, if you've never lost, you're never going to know how to win. That's just how it is. Like, you don't know what it takes to win. Trust the process also means, you know, trusting completely in God. We tend to think that with him on our side, everything will be 100% positive and okay, but we forget that trusting the process also means being prepared for the negative. That is to come with that. it's amazing how as time goes on, you learn more and more and more about yourself. As you get closer to God, you learn more about God. As you continuously read your word. And I think it's, for me, I love to read, so knowledge is important, but it's got to make sense to me. You know what I mean? It's got to make sense. But I do a lot of writing for my own sanity, just because it's how I've always communicated when words wasn't my best strong suit. But I wrote something, just a kind of slight conversation with God. And for me, it's so easy to be transparent on pen and paper when you're talking to God, because, I mean, who are you kidding? Like, why would you lie? Like, what? Like, what? You know what I'm saying? Like, what? Like, what would be the purpose of that? Honestly, it's just because the thing is, right, like, if you don't have some type of outlet, because honestly, like, for me, I think the mental part of this thing is more than half the battle. You know what I mean? If the devil can attack your mind, like, he's won. If he can take your mind, like, it's a mental war. You know, from sun up to sun down. And I think that because again, Pastor, you said it before, like, your body does what your mind, like, what your mind tells it to do. And once thoughts manifest, like, I mean, that's it. But again, I wrote something, and again, it's so easy for me. And I, like I said, when I first did this, I was uncomfortable sharing the things that I wrote. But again, I was told by someone that what I write can help people. But again, it's never too this is just me. I said, Lord, it's me. No one special. I'm just a willing vessel. Learning to use every obstacle as a step stool. But please, Lord, forgive me for my prayers. I know I neglect them. But most of the time, it's my shortcomings. Sometimes I feel like I have to protect them. And I know it's the guilt and the shame that creates this distance, constantly trying to fill this void when I know that it's you that's missing. I know I'm broken in places the naked eye can't see. And simultaneously, my mind goes to dark places no child of yours should be. And even though I like to convince myself I'm giving you all of me, deep down, I know you're saying there's more that I require of thee. Lord, I let you down constantly, then avoid you like you did something to me, when the whole time it's my pride that's convincing me to act insensibly. The thing is, like for me, like, if I'm going through something, it's hard for me to pray. It's hard for me to pray for a few reasons. Why? A couple of reasons is because, like, you're ashamed, right? Like, you ever, like, you know, I don't know how many of you have pets, but we had a dog, a little Rottweiler when I was growing up. Her name was Queen. And when she would go number two on the carpet, she would give my mom this look and kind of like, it would be like, okay, I know I just did something I wasn't supposed to do, so I'm going to come rub up against you and kind of give you this, like, so you don't bring out that newspaper. And that's kind of like how we are with God, right? Like, we do things and it's like, yo, like, and before you know it, it's days before you've picked up your Bible. It's days before you've prayed. And the thing is, like, it's nothing that he's done. It's our own guilt, our own shame, which is, you need that, right? Like, if that wasn't present, then there's a problem. But it's our own shame that kind of separates us, which is, nothing can separate us. Like, sin separates us from God. And so, for, like, we treat God as if, like, he was the offender. Like, man, I know I messed up, but, like, man, like, why you keep staring at me like that? You know what I mean? Like, why? Like, you know what I'm saying? And that's what happened for me, because y'all are perfect. I'm not talking about y'all. It's for me. Honestly, it's just, I mean, am I being for real? Like, and so it's one of those things where you have no choice but to be real with God. Because at the end of the day, he knows you better than you know yourself. You know, and I know people think I'm crazy, man. I find myself, like, you know, driving up and down the road a lot. I find myself having conversations, full-blown conversations with God, like, you know, and I'm like, am I really talking in an empty car? You know what I mean? Like, and, you know, because, I mean, and it takes like an hour and a half to get home, like, for me. And I'm like, yo, I just had no music. I just had a whole conversation. You know, I'm kind of crazy. Like, that's, but for me, it's a release, right? Right? It's a release because at the end, like I said, mentally, it's, you know, people don't talk about it a lot, but it's a mental struggle. It's a mental struggle, and I feel like, just like any muscle that you have that you want to be strengthened, like, you have to strengthen your mind as well, because warfare in the mind is real, and you have to be able to have a strong foundation and a strong core And which is why I go back to those nine words. You have to have some type of something that you stand on that you can always go back to that keeps you solidified, that keeps you grounded. But you also have to understand that you can't pick and choose in which areas you want to grow. You can't pick and choose in which areas you want to flourish. Because the truth is, like, we all have strengths in here. They're strengths. Like, we can go around the room and say, oh, these are five or six strengths about a person. But the key is to point, you know, and I say this, you know, follow me. Like, the key is to point out people's weaknesses, because those are what you need to focus on. You focus on those weaknesses so they become strengths. You don't want to keep weaknesses. Because God is about constant growth. And because once you stop growing, once you stop learning, once you stop striving to be better each and every day, like, what are you doing? You're just existing. And I think there's a different level for all of us. It may not be the same for all of us, but for each individual, there are different levels. And I think that it's important for us to tap into those gifts that we have. It's important for us to do those things, i.e. speak in front of people that you're not comfortable with. And again, it's last time I was up here shaking. You know what I mean? But now I'm comfortable. One, y'all family, so I'm not talking in front of strangers. But two, it's kind of one of those things where if I have something to say, I need to say it. Not for y'all, honestly. It's not for y'all, but for God, because he gave me this ability to be able to use my words to affect people, be able to use my words to help people. And if I don't use that, then I'm being disobedient. I'm not trying to be disobedient. But again, guys, that was it. I just wanted to kind of, you know, throw some things out there and share some of the things that I've been going through that y'all obviously haven't been dealing with, because y'all good. But that's it. I don't want to hold y'all long, man.